The mystery is not, why do some people not choose God and not receive forgiveness? The mystery is, why are some of us chosen and forgiven? That's the mystery here. If God did not sovereignly show his mercy to people, we would never know mercy, because we don't deserve mercy.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. The truth about God is that none of us deserves his love, and really we deserve his punishment. But because of his love and mercy, we can know him personally. Find out more about this as David McGee continues in Romans 9 with his teaching, God is Calling. Here's David.
So we're in Romans chapter 9, and we finished up last week with verse 13, talking about the calling and the election of God. And, you know, we noted, we often think that the calling or election of God is a reward for services rendered, or perhaps you're, you know, think from your actions or from your spiritual journey or searching. But what we're finding out in these passages is that this calling and election is actually part of God's sovereignty. We're going to be talking again today about the balance of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. So we're going to pick it up. Let's look at let's back up to verse 13. As it is written, Jacob I've loved, but Esau I've hated. In verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. We went into length about this older brother, younger brother thing. The older brother feeling like he deserves some of the giftings of God, and the younger brother understanding that it's all about grace. And so the call to what? The call to God. The call to a different life. The call to something more, something better. And we need to understand that God is forever issuing that call. He's going to do it again today. He's going to issue that call to certain individuals in here today to respond to him. And as we look at verse 14, you know, we understand that, because we look and go, well, he calls what, the justified? He calls the people who really deserve to be called? Absolutely not. Who deserves to be called? Who deserves to have the grace of God, the mercy of God extended to him? None of us. We often think that, you know, ministry callings are according to according to if somebody's really, really spiritual. Well, sometimes that's true, but historically we've seen that it's not always been so. God gifts a person or persons, and then he calls them into a specific ministry, and that person is gifted for that area of ministry. Let's remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Now, it says few of you. It doesn't say none of you, because sometimes God does call somebody wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, but it says only a few of those. Instead, God deliberately chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Now, God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important, so that no one can ever boast in the presence of God. See, none of us can ever say, well, I'm deserving of the calling. Now, the Bible says to walk worthy of the calling, but the calling goes forth before you're walking worthy. And so as we look at this verse and start to think about, well, okay, so God calls some and he doesn't call others. Is this unrighteous, is what the New King James reads. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says, is God unfair? NIV says, is God unjust? But the concept is, well, if God chooses some and doesn't choose others, is this really fair? Is God really fair? Well, think about this, because again, God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. And this chapter is a very deep chapter. This is not, and at the same time, it's not really that difficult to understand. If we say, well, God's not fair because he calls some and doesn't call others, well, let's think about that, that people choose God and some people don't choose God. It's not that God is just sovereignly making people choose him or not choosing. We all have free will. And as we contemplate these things, you do, I mean, I've been reading the Bible for a long time, studying the Bible for a long time. And there is a place when you start talking about election and calling and predestination and all these things, you're trying to understand an infinite God with a finite mind. And you get into this area when you're looking at these incredibly complex issues of calling and election. And we're reminded, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is something important to remember, because as we look at these things, some people have made it, they've made the mistake, the serious mistake, of looking at election and calling and predestination. And Paul here says, well, does this mean God's unfair? See, some folks look at God and they think, well, I could do better. And they think, well, I wouldn't have made that decision. I think I know better. Now, usually we wouldn't phrase it that blatantly. But when God begins to move in a certain way with certain people, we go, well, that's not good. May I suggest that God has a lot more information than we do to make the decisions that he makes based on information we don't have access to. You know, you ever heard the term armchair quarterbacks? Where you can sit. Yeah, you can sit really comfortable in a lazy boy, you know, and you can sit and judge what the quarterback really should be doing as 8 400-pound guys bear down on him. You know, well, I would have done it like this, and I would have done it like that. Of course, none of the armchair quarterbacks have ever played professional football. There's also, let me tread lightly with this one. There's also armchair pastors who think they know exactly how a church should operate and be ran, although they've never pastored. And let me assure you that, you know, at one time I attended a church and there was one guy that I called pastor. Now the dynamics are very different. I'm up here and there's hundreds of people calling me pastor, and that's a little different. And I've learned a lot in the process. Things that I thought before I became a pastor in the ministry, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. As we look at the decisions that God makes, be careful and understand that you're very limited. As a matter of fact, our first life lesson is, because our knowledge is so limited, we cannot question the ways or choices of God. Because our knowledge is so limited, we cannot question the ways or choices of God. I cannot completely understand and communicate calling, election, predestination. I can understand the concepts. I can understand what they mean to me and what they mean to us and what they mean to others. But I get to the end of myself in my finite mind. And we need to understand that as we deal with these deep subjects.
We read about it online, watch it on television, and hear about it on the radio. Our world is filled with violence and fear, whether it's threats of terrorism around the world or senseless violence in our own backyard. Our world is clearly broken and in need of hope. That's why this month, Cross the Bridge Ministries is offering Know Your Future, Be Immune to Terrorism. This special presentation from David McGee was filmed on the anniversary of 9/11 and is a message of hope and victory. This insightful teaching also exposes the truth about Islam's dangerous past while rejoicing in God's plan for our future. The product, Know Your Future, Be Immune to Terrorism, is our gift to you for a donation of any amount to Cross the Bridge Ministries. Because of your generous donations, Cross the Bridge continues to share the hope of Christ with a world that is struggling with fear. Call today to receive your copy of Know Your Future by dialing 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com.
Did you know one of the keys to spiritual growth is to daily be in the Word of God? I want to help you to do that. You see, I send out an email every day with a scripture passage, a life lesson, a directed prayer, and some encouraging thoughts. All you need to do is go to crossthebridge.com and sign up for our absolutely free devotional. And also, you'll receive prayer support. You let us know if you have a prayer need, and you'll get specially discounted offers. God in His Word promises that His Word always produces fruit, always. So let's get started. Go to crossthebridge.com and sign up for our devotional. you'll be glad you did.
Now let's return to our study.
Let's look at verse 15. It says, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion." It's like there's a coin, and there's two sides to a coin. They usually look very different. And what we're really doing is looking at a coin, if you will, spiritually speaking. In this verse, God says, I'm going to have mercy on whoever I want. Now, at first glance, you can say, well, that doesn't sound really fair. But let's understand, who deserves mercy? Nobody. See, it was all about us getting what we deserve. None of us would ever have mercy. None of us would ever receive grace. The question, and we talked about this a little bit last week, in verse 13, Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated, or some translations, Jacob I've loved and Esau I've loved less. And some people go, well, why did he love Esau less? That's not the mystery there, gang. The mystery is, why did he love Jacob? The mystery is not, why do some people not choose God and not receive forgiveness? The mystery is, why are some of us chosen and forgiven? That's the mystery here. If God did not sovereignly show his mercy to people, we would never know mercy, because we don't deserve mercy. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I just want what I deserve. No, you don't. Have you ever thought about what you deserve? It's amazing. We go through life and we think, well, life ain't fair. I need what I deserve. You want what you deserve. Let me paint you a little quick picture. What you deserve. What if right now you got a ticket for every moving violation you had ever committed? Go ahead, think about it. Some of you are going, you don't want what you deserve, do you? Well, no, not in that sense, but in other ways. No. You do not want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy. I want grace. If you've ever got a moving violation, ever been in court, I don't think you got in front of the judge or hired an attorney to go in front of the judge. You go, Judge, I want to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. I want what I deserve. No, you don't. You didn't do that. We think, oh, I want what I deserve. I deserve to win the lottery. Not if you can do math. I mean, seriously, it's the lottery is just a tax on people who are bad at math is what it is. But so we're looking at this and understand, God says, I'm going to have mercy on whomever I will. Now, let's understand, because we're talking about mercy and we're talking about grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. In other words, mercy has the concept of you deserve a punishment, but God doesn't give it to you. He extends mercy to you. Grace is getting good things, love, joy, peace, forgiveness, and you don't deserve them. Now, one of our devotions when the kids were real small, I explained this. And John David, or Johnny, as he goes by now, really, really latched onto this mercy thing. And then whenever he would mess up, he would take something from his sister or break her crayons or something like that. Okay, understand, pastor's children's, they're born in sin like other children. They're not immaculately conceived and, you know, don't, anyway. So he really grabbed a hold of this thing. So every time, you know, I went to correct him and lovingly apply whatever punishment was merited, He would look at me and go, Dad, and I'd say, what? And I'd be explaining why he had to be corrected and spanked. And, well, Dad, what? Mercy. Mercy. It completely just melted my heart for, you know, like a couple of weeks. He went like a few weeks without getting any spankings at all. And then I figured out I was being manipulated. But this concept of mercy is not getting, in that situation, not getting the spanking that he deserved. Not getting the fruit of the bad decision. Now, when you look at this and you go, okay, well, have mercy on whom he will. But still, our mind tries to grasp, well, okay, obviously God extends mercy to those who deserve it. Who deserves mercy? See, if we get this concept, that it will change our relationship with God. None of us deserve mercy. When God said this, when this verse is, it's a quote from the Hebrew Scriptures, do you know when it happened? It happened after the little episode with the golden calf. Not in the midst of an awesome worship ceremony or something in the tabernacle. When the people had this big party and worshiped this golden calf. And in the midst of that, God says, you know what? I'm going to have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Exodus 33:17 says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. This is interesting because that's a quote, this in Romans, that's a quote from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is in what we refer to as the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament. Why am I pointing that out? Because a lot of times we think, well, God was pretty much roaming around just really mad and really angry in the Old Testament. And then, you know, at the cross, all of a sudden he got happy and he's willing to forgive everybody. That's kind of the concept I grew up with. That's an inaccurate picture of God. God is consistent. He is consistently merciful. He is consistently graceful. Here in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, he's talking about giving grace and giving mercy. Sometimes when you know, you look around the world and you see stuff going on and that's not right and this is not right, and sometimes we tend towards being judgmental and condemning, and you know, boy, God, if I was running the show, I would sure fix this or fix that or judge this person. God is always more merciful than any of us would be. Always. If you ever look at God and think God's being harsh or judgmental or quick to judge somebody, let me assure you, you don't have the complete picture. That day when they worshiped the golden calf and all those things went horribly wrong, there's roughly 2 million people probably there. And some died that day. And you would think, okay, well, you went horribly wrong and God was really hurt and righteously indignant, angry. So he probably wiped out like 90% of them or something. No. Well, like 75%, no. Well, half, no. Out of 2 million people, roughly, Exodus 32:28 says, so the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000. See, so perspective's everything. That coin, you're looking at one, 3,000 people, that's a lot of people. There were 2 million. God being gracious. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because that number 3,000 doesn't occur a lot in Scripture. And it pops up mysteriously. At the giving of the law, 3,000 people died. But in the offering of grace in the New Testament in Acts 2:41, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. When the law was given, people died. When this meeting in the New Testament, offer of grace once again, but both were offers of grace, if you will, being calm. And when we talk about calling, don't get stuck on, well, you know, why are some people not called? We don't deserve to be called. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. You need to start from that understanding. And then the question is no longer, why are some people condemned? It's, why are some people forgiven? That's the mystery, gang. That grace and mercy flow to those who don't deserve it, don't earn it. And yet it still flows and flows. Grace and mercy flows like a river to the ocean. You know, as people had hard weeks, hard months, hard lives, made serious mistakes, and yet we can sit in here today and worship God. That's mercy and grace flowing like a river. And verse 16 says, so then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. So again, we see this balance of the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. And be careful of any belief system or organization or Calvinism or Arminianism. I think what happens is some people go, well, it's an either or. No, it's not an either or. The Bible teaches both of them. And we need to understand that they balance out. And we can say, well, God just chooses who he chooses, so why should we tell anybody? Because we don't know who he chooses. We have no idea who he chooses. None of us deserve the calling. None of us deserve the mercy. Look at this verse. It's not him who wills nor him who runs. See, if somebody is willing, we think, well, they deserve the mercy. No, they don't. If somebody's willing to come forward at the end of the service, we think, well, they deserve mercy. No, they don't. It's amazing. Some Sunday mornings, even before I invite people, they start to drift down here. The calling of God, the movement of God, the power of God is just so strong. But nobody deserves it, because we look at people who may, you know, move towards the Lord, come forward, pray the prayer, or begin to be disciples, and go, well, they're willing and they're running. But which came first? The willing and the running is not the cause. The cause is God's mercy, undeserved. And that leads us to be willing and to run, if you will. Life lesson here. Everyone who receives God's mercy and grace is undeserving of them. Everyone who receives God's mercy and grace is undeserving of them. That's why Paul, when he's in the book of Ephesians, he talks about the fact that salvation is by grace. It's not by works. Because if it was by works, we could brag about it. The plan of God was that it would be a gracious gift from him. That way nobody could boast. Now, I'm not saying that keeps us from boasting, but it should. We've received mercy. Just as if I took this bottle of water and gave it to somebody. It would be a gift to them. Well, how could that person go, oh yeah, look, I got water and you don't. No. You see how that could go haywire real quick? And it does. Because we somehow communicate to people who don't believe Jesus, who aren't following Jesus, that somehow we deserve this forgiveness we've received. Now you can tell that? Talk to them. So what do you think makes a Christian different? You know what 99 out of 10 people will say? Well, you do what's good and what's right. The concept is that we have done something to deserve the mercy and the grace of God. Let me ask you a question. Where did they get a concept like that? We told them. Well, if you do this and you do that.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven. You've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him. And he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend. You just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you've prayed this prayer with Pastor David, receiving Jesus Christ for the first time, or rededicating your life to the Lord, please call and let us know. We want to send you our exclusive First Steps package for free. This package will help you grow in your new life. Receive your First Steps package by calling 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com. When you call, let our call team representative know where you heard about our broadcast. We read about it online, watch it on television, and hear about it on the radio. Our world is filled with violence and fear. Whether it's threats of terrorism around the world or senseless violence in our own backyard, our world is clearly broken and in need of hope. That's why this month, Cross the Bridge Ministries is offering Know Your Future, Be Immune to Terrorism. This special presentation from David McGee was filmed on the anniversary of 9/11 and is a message of hope and victory. This insightful teaching also exposes the truth about Islam's dangerous past while rejoicing in God's plan for our future. The product, Know Your Future, Be Immune to Terrorism, is our gift to you for a donation of any amount to Cross the Bridge Ministries. Because of your generous donations, Cross the Bridge continues to share the hope of Christ with a world that is struggling with fear. Call today to receive your copy of Know Your Future by dialing 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com. One of the most important parts of growing in Christ is being in fellowship at a local church. But what happens on those times you're sick or traveling? Simply log on to crossthebridge.com and click the live stream button, and you'll instantly be streaming from David McGee's home church, The Bridge. Catch every life lesson and scripture reference as you take part in hearing the Word of God from anywhere in the world. Pastor David McGee teaches live online, Sunday mornings at 9 and 11:15. Watch this week at crossthebridge.com. Cross the Bridge with David McGee is a ministry dedicated to sharing the whole Bible with the whole world. If you've been blessed by Cross the Bridge, consider financially supporting this ministry. Your gift will be used to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, while also supplying resources to new believers. To give, simply call 877-458-5508 or visit us online at crossthebridge.com and click on the Donate button. Once there, you can choose to give a one-time gift or become a Bridge Builder monthly supporter. Also, while visiting crossthebridge.com, make sure to sign up for Pastor David's free email devotional, as well as browse through our many online resources. Thanks for listening to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. Join us again next time and invite your family and friends to listen, as together we cross the bridge.